Hi there, I'm Yuan Day, founder of Zora Digital. Welcome to the sixth episode of Zora Talks, where we speak to founders and companies in the healthy lifestyle space. For this episode, I'm happy to talk to Jimmy Prude of Jimmy's Vegan about how his brand prioritizes community and connecting with consumers. Let's get started. So, Jimmy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And we wanted to start by asking you if you could tell us a little bit about your cookies and what are the flavors.
Yeah, so the current products that I have are the Loaded Vegan and the Dark Berry Vegan. So the Loaded Vegan is like your traditional vegan dark chocolate chips, but it's made with Amish grains, vegan dark chocolate chips, coconut oil, and agave as the natural sweetener. So within the Amish grains formulation, you have some aspects of oats, but you have slivered almonds, shaved coconuts, and organic raw sunflower seeds. And with the Dark Berry Vegan, which is your cranberry dark chocolate, similar formulation, we have Amish grains, vegan dark chocolate chips, moist cranberries, and agave as the natural sweetener.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. So how did you come up with the recipe?
So I personally got tired of buying vegan foods outside of the neighborhood that I lived at the time that didn't taste so great. So I ended up making my own vegan cookies, and that was during a time when I was doing organizing work here in Chicago in the Auburn Gresham and Inglewood neighborhoods. So I would make my own, and I've always liked the combination of cranberries and dark chocolate, but I've also just liked traditional like dark chocolate with just like a unique flavor to it. I ended up making them on my own in my home just for me to snack on while I was working with residents and doing trainings with them. So it was kind of like my own treat, and then a lot of the residents just enjoyed them, and it kind of became a way for me to connect with the residents that I live with. But you know, it became a snack that I enjoyed, but also that other people enjoyed.
Wow, you just took it to market.
Well, eventually, yes. It didn't happen, so it took some time, but that's kind of how it ended up flowing.
Next, I asked Jimmy why he chose the 79th Street Renaissance Festival to launch his cookies. Here's what he had to say.
So the Loaded Vegan was the only vegan cookie that I was making at the time. So that was the only one that I would bring with me while I was working. But I chose that one because residents enjoyed the taste of it. I shared it eventually with residents that I worked with. And I chose the 79th Street Renaissance Festival because it was a great way to put a product in front of so many different people from not just Auburn, Gresham, and Inglewood, but for the surrounding communities. And those people who traveled to the South Side, to Auburn, Gresham on 79th to be a part of that festival. And for me, as I look back on it, it was in some sense like a culmination of the work that I was doing at that moment, but also a little bit of market research to see how well, you know, they would do. But you know, I think it came from a space of wanting to just put it out there to people who were asking for them. And it was at the 79th Street Renaissance Festival where I was able to understand what people wanted from a vegan product, what people were looking for, and how they wanted to relate to the foods or the businesses that they were purchasing from. And I think one of the main things that I remember hearing that day was one woman had purchased a product and said, you know, I don't know what vegan is, but I know it's good for me. And I said, okay. And another person said, you know, I've never had vegan, these are good. Where can I get them from? And at that time, I was not in the process of thinking about the next stage of what that would look like. But after having these, you know, one-on-one conversations with residents and people in and from outside of the neighborhood, helped me kind of move to the next step. And you know, for me, coming from having a business background, but also coming from an organizing role, and being able to provide access to, you know, a product or a service that someone was in need of is a challenge at first, right? Because you have to figure it out. And after hearing these kind of like one-on-one engagements with people, these testimonials, I began figuring out the best way to have the product placed locally so that people in the neighborhood can have access to it at any given moment.
Well, that's smart to do some grassroots market research. Mm-hmm. That's a really great way to get that voice of the customer.
Right.
Another innovative approach that Jimmy uses to capture the voice of the customer is through YouTube. Next, we hear more about why he uses this channel as one of his tactics.
So when I'm not able to tell the story mm-hmm. of the experience that they've had with the product, someone can easily go online or easily speak to that person and see their experience and hear their experience. And it also gives me an opportunity to learn from the customer. Most of those times when those videos were being recorded or when they were recorded, I was right there and I learned from my customers. Some of the innovation that people see and taste within the product have come from feedback from the customers over the years. So this allows me to go back when I am in modes of researching to see what people want, to hear what they're looking for. Because sometimes people will tell you what they're looking for by tasting your product that you didn't even have laid out in your mission, vision, or value statements, or how you want to market the product. And they, mm-hmm. they kind of share with you these insights to continue growing the business and the product.
It's almost like they're doing, it's like a natural way of kind of like this, to for them to give you feedback,
right.
But they don't know they're giving you feedback because right. it's such as like a organic and natural way to capture their experience.
Exactly.
So. Okay, great. And so we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about how do you see e-commerce playing in the success of Jimmy's Vegan?
Yeah, I think e-commerce is for me and the business and the people I work with is going to be a good stage of growth mm-hmm. For us going into the remaining part of 2019, 2020 mm-hmm. going forward. I have done e-commerce sales before, mm-hmm. But just because of capacity and being able to manage, you know, retail stores on top of some aspects of direct sales at the time, and then being able to push that product out, you know, mm-hmm. to other customers that wanted access to the product, that heard about it,
right.
that didn't live in Chicago.
Right.
So that was good for us because it let us know that, you know, we had to continue working to reach this broader customer mm-hmm. base while we grow out kind of like these foundational pieces around
the
distribution
and
working with other businesses mm-hmm. to get product to them. So it's one way for us early on how we tested
mm-hmm.
and was able to get the product out. But going forward, being able to transition into these new channels of providing the product via online mm-hmm. is more promising because there's a better infrastructure, newer resources that have come through, and just, you know, lessons learned over the last couple of years from doing that, but also managing the business and finding better ways to, you know, reach our customer, but understanding where our customer's at and how our customers actually want to access our product.
Yeah, that's great. I was wondering if you want to talk about the changes to your packaging?
So the packaging has been a part of the growth of the brand, but also the product and being able to grow as a business. And the packaging is, you know, and now what they call like flex film packaging, CPG packaging, mm-hmm. consumer packaged good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means. And I wanted the product to be visually distinctive. I wanted it to have an iconic look and feel to it. I wanted it to be recognizable. I wanted it to be unique to the brand. And I wanted it to align to the values of the business around like ingredient transparency. So when you look at our product, you can see how the product looks as a finished good. But on one end of the packaging, when you open it, and then on the other end of the packaging, either it be to your left or right, however you're looking at it, you'll see the ingredients that are within the product that you're about to open. So it took some time to get to this point, and you know, it's a stage of the business that I'm happy about, and I'm just looking forward to this rollout of this packaging to customers.
Okay, wow, I know it's a labor of love. And so when do you expect it to hit the market?
Soon. I don't want to put a date to it. It's just so many things that just have to be lined up and perfect. I want to make sure things are perfect enough to roll out successfully. and continue growing the business in a positive direction and the product in a positive direction.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you, in addition to, you mentioned you're selling online on Amazon. So in addition to selling online on Amazon, do you sell Jimmy's Vegan anywhere else?
Yeah, so Amazon is what we're rolling into. So we're not fully rolled out on Amazon yet, but on the back end, it's pretty much being developed out. I wanted to make sure I took time with that so that it's done right, and that when I do launch through the platform, that there's a level of success when doing so, and growing that portion of the business out. The other areas of online that I plan on selling is through jimmysvegan.com, which will always link to Jimmy's Vegan Cookies. You know, there'll be a segment on there for the product, but selling directly through the business website, along with our future sales through Amazon. Other areas of e-commerce, I'm not sure yet. If there's, you know, as I grow, I gotta do one platform at a time. I don't wanna rush into doing multiple platforms all at once.
Right.
Each e-commerce yields different types of results.
Mm-hmm.
It's also me making sure I'm meeting my customer where they're at. And mm-hmm. for me and for the business, our customers are the Amazon shoppers, of course. But also, we have a lot of traffic to our websites that I want to make sure we're leveraging for e-commerce sales. And then as time goes forward, we learn our customers, learn newer customer shopping behavior, and engaging them and finding better ways to meet them where they're at. Then I'll begin to position the business to grow into other areas of e-commerce. But I don't want to oversaturate in e-commerce platforms, I mean, you know, for selling, but be very just strategic and just meeting our customers where they're at, knowing where our customers are and meeting them there.
That sounds right. Mm-hmm. So what inspires you? I know I'm an entrepreneur and there's mm-hmm. ups and downs. So what inspires you to continue growing Jimmy's Vegan?
One of the main things that drives me when it gets tough is being able to, it's like troubleshooting, right? Being able to figure the problem out or the challenge in front of me, and being able to get a peek of what it looks like once it's done, once it's been figured out. It's like looking behind, you know, the wall that's in front of you, or being able to get a peek
right.
of what's
on
over.
The other side.
Yeah. And it's like you can see that you're getting there, and then once you finish troubleshooting it, you see what's ahead. So what keeps me going is being able to continue troubleshooting, but I also take time to myself. I reflect. I exercise.
You like to travel too, don't you?
I do, when I have the opportunity
okay.
and
yeah.
time to do it. I do like to travel, but when I'm here, I make sure I exercise. I make sure I you know, keep time to myself, so that I can kind of figure out the challenges when those times come. And what else keeps me going? Believe it or not, I find myself doing this, but and I just really recently realized it. But I look back at some of the videos that are posted on YouTube, and I watch them. And a part of it is not being able to, like, not let the customer down, but realizing that there's like many more people out there that's just like them, that have like shared values,
mm-hmm.
similar experiences or shared experiences, and being able to deliver the product and, you know, expose them to the business. I'm inspired by a few different people. One is, you know, I used to work at Microsoft,
mm-hmm.
and yep. I remember I always wanted to work for Microsoft since I was in the seventh grade, and I got that opportunity to do that when I was like a sophomore in college, to internship, and then became a co-op, and then it became full-time. But Microsoft as a company, Bill Gates as a founder, Hamdi Yulakaya, who is the founder and CEO of Chobani. I really like the work that he does. He's very inspirational because I find some aspects of like synergy between the work that I'm doing or the work that I have done and being able to merge that into the work of Jimmy's Vegan and how that affects the product Jimmy's Vegan Cookies.
Did they start in the community too?
Yeah, with a strong emphasis of making sure they included their community that they ran in the development of the product, but also in the development of the business. And also, you know, having a level of equity within his own like company, with his employees.
Okay.
Like really giving back to his employees in a very meaningful way that affects like them and their families, you know, for, you know, generations to come. I like his work as well, and Richie Lee Dennis of Sundial Brands, and how he has been able to, you know, grow his business, grow the brands that are, you know, under Sundial, and his ability to reach people the way he does.
Yeah, he's like really grown an empire there.
Yes, yes. So these are the people that, you know, inspire me. There's so many, you know, music. I like music, so I listen to a lot of different, you know, musicians as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I need to be in a space of being inspired or just being able to see what's going on in the world, I turn on some music.
I have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you're a vegan.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering, how has your life changed since becoming a vegan?
It's been good. I didn't think I was ever going to be a vegan.
You said what?
I didn't think I was ever going to, you know,
really?
Yeah. A vegan.
That's hard.
But, I mean, I think at some point everybody struggles with some type of health-related issue or, you know, challenge that they have that they want to get through. So, I can, if I had to look back on it, you know, I wasn't, like, always at a particular weight, frame. You know, becoming vegan was a process. It wasn't like overnight. Like I've been vegan almost 11 years now. So I went from in high school giving up beef and pork. Literally that was one thing I wanted to do when I graduated. I said I want to give up beef and pork.
Interesting.
So I gave that up, and you know, I remember when I went off to school the first semester, one of the advisors came into the room because they were doing, you know, dorm checks, room checks. He said, "Prude, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." He said, "You look skinny."
Oh, no.
And, you know, when you're a freshman, you're walking everywhere. And, but you're also, at that time, I wasn't eating beef and pork.
Right.
So I was still eating other, like, fish, chicken, turkey.
Okay.
But it was a progression. After I graduated and was out in Seattle, at Microsoft, had a great health program that helped open my view up to different ways of
other ways, other foods.
At, yeah, looking at foods, how foods reacted with my body, how I've always had issues with certain foods that reacted to my body that kept me at a certain weight, or why I would feel certain ways after eating certain foods. So that helped me identify that. So from that process going forward, I became a vegetarian, and you know, from there it just became a little bit more easy to go into being a vegan. You know, it tied back into my spiritual beliefs and how I wanted to engage the world with people and food. And then, you know, from there, the decision to just not eat certain foods just came about. But I will say this, there is a level of cultural competency that you have to have, even as a vegan, and even when you're not vegan. But as a vegan, I'm not so restrictive to the point where if I'm at someone's home and they have made a particular dish that may be important to them, important to the culture which they come from, I will taste it. I will have some of it.
Okay.
I won't eat beef. I won't eat any red meat. But if it's a fish dish, I will eat some of it. If it has like some dairy in it, I will eat a little bit of it. It's not a lot to the point where it affect me physically.
Right.
But enough to the point where I'm not restricting myself from engaging with people. Right, because I never want to be that person that can't be in a space and not enjoy the people or the food.
Right, so that makes sense.
So I think it's very important, even for you know, vegans, you know, it just depends. It's like a spectrum, right? It's just how you engage food, how you engage people, and how you want to live within that lifestyle. So that's how I choose to live. Like when I went out the country, you know, it's hard to go to, I was in Cameroon and I stayed with a family and I was like, I don't eat meat. And they didn't know what that meant. Like, they, I was like, okay, let me stop and not explain anymore. And you learn to survive, you know, you eat what you can eat.
Right.
And you respect the places that you are.
Right. Oh, that sounds awesome though, that you made that conscious decision while you're just going off to college. So that's amazing. So I want to switch over. We've been talking about plant-based diets, and we've been actually seeing an increase in the popularity of plant-based diets over the years. How has that growing trend affected your business?
So the trending aspect has like brought some good attention to the product, which has been good, into the business, and has allowed me to engage with newer customers. And going back to like when we were doing online sales, it allowed me to sell to people who came outside of Chicago. So I like the way in which the food industry is moving as far as like advocating for plant-based options, not just in your grocery stores, but in your fast food restaurants, but also in your casual dining restaurants as well. So that's giving rise to people wanting to seek out other foods outside of those segments that they can incorporate at home when they're on the go. So for me as a business, the trending aspect is good, but I also try to focus on not being a trend. Right? I want to exist outside of the trend, but while the trend is happening, if we're able to
ride the wave,
you know, if we're able to, you know, garner new customers, visibility, I think that's great. Because for me, Jimmy's Vegan, long term, exists past the trends and is a part of newer trends within the food and beverage space as I grow and have opportunities to other aspects of products that
like line extensions outside of the vegan category, maybe to take advantage of other growing, and I don't want to say trends, but other growing areas of interest in the healthy space.
Exactly. So, you know, it's like, you know, this is a, you know, Jimmy's Vegan Cookies, but then I also have a market of people who are at home who like to cook. And, you know, what does a potential product look like in home that they can use either on a daily basis or whenever they cook? So I'm always looking, you know, from a broader perspective long term down the line, not wanting to be a trend, but be a part of the trend while the trend is occurring in these different categories or different categories within the food and beverage space, but also within the vegan space as well. So I do appreciate that aspect of the business, but also being able to recognize how that trend affects us.
Makes sense. So in closing, you have something, a saying on your website about your values and your mission. And I'd love to hear in your own words what those values and missions is for Jimmy's Vegan Cookies, and also why is it so important to you?
I wanted to make sure we empowered and educate every person, every organization, at home, on the go, to achieve inclusive food equity. So achieving inclusive food equity is just means providing a healthy product, right? It means people should have access to a healthy product, and that our supply chain, who we get our supplies from, who we get our raw materials from, matters. Most of my product, most of it is organic, natural, and kosher. I know I don't strategically label these on the packaging. That's also, you know, something that we're gonna
look at
and continue to do and see if it's worthwhile doing. But I think there's other meaningful ways we can we can let our customers know that our supply chain is kosher. Our supply chain is very much organic for some of the raw materials that we use. And what this looks like as a benefit to the supplier that we're obtaining them from, be it the farmer or be it the supplier who may be a small family-run business for you know, X amount of years, who also does great work with other people along the supply chain, other farmers and other providers along the supply chain. So that's where the inclusive food equity comes in, but it also comes back to the broader goal of Jimmy's Vegan, right? Which is why I started the business in the first place, was to work with people, to engage them one-on-one, to provide a product or products that are healthy and delicious, that taste great, that people want, that they can relate to, and that they can easily get access to, be it a retail grocer or online. And that's been important to me. So when we look at the on-the-go consumer today is literally everywhere we are, right? Everybody's on the move, we have less time, right? So now we have the on-the-go consumer, the person that's mobile, the person that has to get to the next meeting, you know, from point A to B, and they only have like 10 minutes. Where can they get Jimmy's Vegan cookies within 10 minutes as an on-the-go consumer? Where is it a local convenience store? Is it a retail grocer that's nearby? It's looking at it in these categories that also kind of go back to the founding of the product Jimmy's Vegan, but also building a team out now, okay. Finding additional resources to help me get to this next stage of business, or these newer stages of business that I'm growing into, and allowing me more time to focus on these areas that go after the everyday person, right? Or I'm sorry, the everyday customer and on-the-go consumer, and making sure we're delivering on inclusive food equity and building that out. So that's why I rooted the company's values to empower and educate, and to introduce businesses to a healthy and delicious vegan food. So that's not just Jimmy's Vegan Cookies, that's other opportunities.
That's the future.
Right.
With your vision, what you have in your head for Jimmy's Vegan Cookies.
Exactly.
And I think it's so important to be focused on the customer. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you're not just focused on an individual person, but behaviors of the customer. Mm-hmm. And that's a great endeavor. So thanks again for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
We had a great time learning just how dynamic a healthy lifestyle brand can be. This episode marks season 1 of Zora Talks. We'll be back like we never left for season 2 on October 15th. And thank you, listeners, for joining us in our goal of bringing in a community of visionaries dedicated to making the world healthier. Be sure to follow us on social media at Zora Digital. Talk up, talking up is what Zora Talks is all about. Zora Digital is a digital marketing consulting firm based in Chicago. We help healthy lifestyle brands with a spirit of innovation navigate the digital landscape and create significant ROI